Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. And I've had this question come up again that comes up on a pretty regular basis for me with the students that I work with. And it usually comes at a pretty exciting time. It's when somebody wants to buy their photograph or they're going into a gallery or show somewhere and they want to know, what do I charge for my work? What's great is I can sometimes get this question asked ahead of time, but sometimes I get it afterwards where somebody will come and say, oh my gosh, I got to sell this photograph for $100. And I'm like, wow, that's really great. So tell me about it. They're like, well, it was this frame piece. You know, you saw it at the coffee shop or wherever. And I'm like, wow, well, how much did it cost to frame? And they're like, well, it was like $80 to frame. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, how much did it cost to mat? And they're like, it cost $10 to mat. I'm like, oh, well, how much was the paper to print it on? They're like, well, that was like $5. I'm like, so you've made $5 on that photograph. Like, and that's assuming you only printed it once. How many times did you actually have to print it to get a final print? They're like, oh, 6 or 7 times. I'm like, so you lost money. You lost money on the sale of your photograph. So it's exciting to sell it, but you actually didn't know how to price it. If we look back at traditional business, the model for pricing is pretty simple. If you're looking at just straight products, you take the materials cost. What was the cost of the frame? What was the cost of the mat board? What was the cost of the paper? What was the cost of the ink? Take all of that. Then you add in your labor. How long did it take you to work? Now, photography is a little bit different because once you get the image set, it may take you 3 hours to get it set up, but then you can create the next image a lot faster. But you still want to account for that labor in the cost of the print. You have expenses. You have printers. You have cameras. You have memory cards. You have hard drives. You have film storage. Whatever you have, all those expenses, electricity, all of that needs to be accounted for in the cost of the image. You then need profit. So if you just add those up, all you did was break even. You actually haven't made any money yet on your photograph. You haven't been paid for the creative side of your photograph. You've been paid just for the material side. And you want to make sure you're getting paid for that creativity. That's actually, as we're going to talk about in a second, that's the value of the photograph. That's what we should really be focusing on when we think about how we determine what a photograph is worth. Because money is actually easy. Like I said, we have the little formula here. And we get set. If we take profit, expense, material, and labor and add all that together, that's kind of the wholesale price. A retail price would be twice that. That's why when you go to a gallery and a gallery asks you what your images cost, if you say $800, because that's your wholesale cost, the gallery takes 50%, you just made $400 on the sale and you lost money. So you need to make sure you really understand what it actually cost. Wholesale and retail, because that way you can provide that information as you're working with a gallery or you're working with an ad agency who's buying work for licensing. Maybe you have different prices based on the usage, worldwide versus regional versus print versus online. All of those things get taken into account. Once you have that, you kind of have a pretty clear idea of what the price is. And this is where I really struggle with this whole concept and the pricing of the art, because in our society, we have decided that we equate value to price. The price of something dictates its value. A Ferrari is more valuable than a Toyota. It costs more money. Now, that's not actually true. If you need a car to go from point A to point B because you're tired of walking in the snow, Ferrari, Toyota probably hold similar value. So price is not ultimately the dictator, but yet in our own psyche, we believe photographs have value and we believe art has more value because of the notion of price. So a photograph that sells over and over again becomes a more valuable photograph. And I'd like to challenge that notion because I don't think that we should be thinking about value and collapsing that on top of price. Those are two distinct terms. They have two distinct meanings. And I think we really need to think about that. So what I'd encourage you to do is rather than thinking about price, because like I said, to figure out price, we just run that through a simple formula. But what I really want to challenge you in this podcast with is what about your work creates value? For you, where does the value come from? What your images are worth, what your photography is worth, varies greatly. How you want your photographs to be experienced and seen varies greatly. If we go back to that idea that value and price are somehow related, why is it that the majority of photographs are given away for free on social media? Some of the best photographs in the world every day, in the millions and hundred millions we create every day, are seen for free online. There's no price associated with them. So does that make the photograph any less important? Does it make the photograph any less interesting? Does the photograph mean less because it doesn't cost anything? I don't think so, because I think those images and the value of those are distinct and different. Those are about sharing. They're about community. They're about communication. They're about something else than just price. Now, it may be about ego. I mean, there may be people who are sharing images all the time because they want to be told that they share the best images, they get the most likes, they get whatever that kind of feedback is, and they've substituted a like for a dollar sign. But for most people, I think there's just this desire to be a part of a community and share what they experience and see in the world. The more we relate, the more we understand one another, the better off we communicate, the better off we understand one another, the better off we are as a whole society. That's one of the things art does. It forces that conversation forward. It shows us where we're similar. It shows us where we're different and allows us to have nonviolent conversations about it. A lot of times it's over a big bottle of wine, but we still have the conversation nevertheless. When you look at value, you could decide that value is really about an experience. Maybe the photographs you choose to take aren't so important because it's really about the experience. Maybe the value is in the work. It's in the actual hands-on experience over and over again, the actual maker part of the photography. Maybe it's about the commitment to the craft. Maybe that's what really matters to you, is that you want to be a master craftsman of the photographs you work with. That's perfectly okay, and that is something you have to take into account. Because ultimately what's going to happen is you're going to want to share that work. You're going to want to get that work to get out there. And there's so many ways you can decide then on how to describe the price. It could be free. You could give it away. You could set different prices for different purposes. But you need to know ultimately what your value is intrinsically within you so that you can actually price things accordingly, so that you can actually get them out accordingly. If what you're really about is just the experience of photography, maybe sharing on social media is the right path. It is the right way to experience. It's the right way to do things. If you want to maximize the dollars because you want to be a rare collected photographer, you want to be in the upper echelon of the secret society of photographic collectors around the world, you would limit your prints to one. You would limit the number of people who see the photographs. You would really try to shrink that experience down. So you would artificially create this scarcity model to try to get people to believe there's more dollar value in the photograph because the value is in its scarcity. You have to decide if that's ultimately what you want. Do you want your photographs to be seen as prolific and out there? Do you want them seen as scarce? All of those things are really important because they're ultimately going to feed back to not just whether or not you're selling your work, but also to how you relate to your own work. I believe that photographers who try to live in the world of scarcity versus abundance end up not creating as much work, not creating as much work that is valuable and meaningful to them. And I don't know what that value is for them. That's something unique for each one of us. We each dictate our own value. But if you believe that there's not much value out there and you believe in the scarcity of that, that's going to be hard for you to excel and put more work out there that is truly meaningful to you because you don't believe there's a lot of it. If you believe there's an abundance, which is one of the great things I think that photography did, when you go back and look in the history of photography, it really democratized the creative outlet. It allowed anybody to pick up this mechanical device and see the world and capture the world and create something through it. Now, for decades, we argued whether it was art or not. Whether you believe it's art or not doesn't really matter. There is the democratization of the creative act that is happening through the camera. So if you're about that democracy and about that sharing, there's an abundance there. There's a wealth spring there. There's a lot you can do from that space. What I would encourage you to do is to sit down and think about how do you relate to price and value in your own work? Is that important? If it is, are you making sure that the price you're charging is fair to what it actually needs to be? If it is, are you charging accordingly based on your expenses and the need for a profit so that everything's accounted in that so that you can continue to afford to be a photographer and not lose money? and not go broke, not have to live in a cardboard box without any cameras at all. And then I would encourage you to sit down and think about what the word value means, because price and value, I want you to separate those and really think, what is valuable about your photography? When is your photography valuable to you? Is your photography that comes from your iPhone more valuable to you than photography that comes from your bigger camera, or vice versa? Is photographs of people more valuable? Landscapes more valuable? Ultimately, what dictates for you that which is valuable? Go and then figure out what you can do to maximize that value. Is it an abundance? Is it trying to limit the scope? What is it that maximizes your value of your experience separate from what to price for? So I hope I've given you a few things to think about that are, you know, kind of a little bit about how to price your work. If you don't know how to do that, taking that material, labor, expense, profit, pull that together for your wholesale cost, multiply by two for your retail cost. But I also think that I've given you something else to think about, which is really what determines value. What is valuable in your photography, and how do you relate to the word value? Because I think if you can create valuable work, that's way more important than it is to create work that necessarily sells for a lot of money. Because at the end of the day, you can always make money somewhere, but you can't always create things of value. So have a great week behind the camera, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Don't forget, you can always find us on the web at www.theperceptivephotographer.com. And you can always find us or give us a rating up on iTunes. We'd really appreciate that. And I'll see you next time.